Welcome to The Laundry Hour, a podcast encouraging stay-at-home moms to fulfill their God-given and extraordinary purpose in their seemingly ordinary lives. I'm your host, Jamie Williams. Hey ladies, welcome to another episode of The Laundry Hour. I am glad that you are with me again, and I hope you are excited about today's lesson, study, message, whatever you want to call it. But I hope that you have been getting a lot out of this series as we have been diving into a love for almost this whole year now, which is kind of crazy to think about. But as we talk about loving our husbands, I wanted to take these last 2 weeks of May to just broadly stroke and today talk about what we are called to be. And next week, talk about what we are called to do. So just to answer the first question, what are we called to be? We are called to be a helper. That's not a surprise. If you have read your Bible, heard a sermon, know anything about marriage, based off of the way God has created and defined it, you understand that women were created to be helpers. In Genesis 2:18, God says, "It is not good that a man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him." That is what the ESV version says, but the King James version says, "I will make a helpmeet for him." I like the way the Amplified does it. It kind of is like synonyms and stuff all up and through, and it just kind of defines what a helper is: one who balances him, a counterpart who is suitable and complementary for him. So the Lord formed every beast, every bird, every livestock, every living creature, and there was not a helper fit for him. So what did God do? God formed a helper from Adam's own body, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, where Adam says, "At last, a helper fit for me, woman." In verse 22, it says that in the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Woman was created for man. God brought her to him. God said it wasn't good or beneficial for man to be alone, and God's solution to this was a woman. We are the answer to the problem of man being alone. God created woman specifically to help man not to be alone. Our very creation, our very presence is good for man. But now that we are here, what are we to do? We were created to help. And what are we to help them do? Well, we got to go back to what Adam was given to do. And we go back to verse 15. God put Adam into the Garden of Eden to work it, to keep it, to cultivate, dress, care for it. So I'm not a gardener, but I know that gardening takes work and it takes consistent work. So you plant things, eventually they grow, and weeds grow alongside it. And sometimes they grow unruly and you have to clip them, you have to prune them, and then you've got to take all the weeds out, and then you've got to make sure it's fertilized and watered. But then, of course, if you want it to look nice, you got to organize like how you're going to put them. Like, obviously there are nice houses, and then there are nice houses because they have great curb appeal and great plants, like perfectly symmetrically framing the house, and then this beautiful tree right here, this pink one, and then there's a pink one on the other side. They're balanced. Like, it takes actual work to create a garden, to make something that is beautiful, but then also to keep it looking beautiful. Like, if you stop tending to a garden, it will grow unruly. Like, if you stop cutting your grass, it will grow really high and it won't be cute anymore. So he was given this job of making the Garden of Eden beautiful and keeping it beautiful. Verse 19, God also gave Adam the task of naming all of the animals. It's interesting also because this task is smack dab in the middle of God saying that it's not good for man to be alone. So let's just kind of like walk through the order of what happened. God creates Adam. He gave him a job, that first job being to tend to the garden. Then he gives him a command, do not eat of this specific tree. Then he says, oh, it's not good for man to be alone. And then he gives him another job, which is naming all the animals. And then still articulates how there was no helper fit for him. So it's very interesting that God says that twice. Like, I have heard it said, like, if God repeats himself, he means that thing. Like, there should be closer attention to the fact that he has said it more than once. For example, there are hundreds of moments where God says, love the Lord your God, you know, serve him only, over and over and over and over again. Why? That is the greatest command. He wants us to remember that. He wants us to do that. If you miss everything else that I've said, I want you to get that, because he said it so many times. So in this moment, the fact that God says twice, it's not good that he's alone, I'll make a helper, and then articulates again that there's no helper fit for him in the birds, in the livestock, or the beast. So the animals are not his helper. Let's start there. I need to make one that is fit, suitable for him. And God creates the solution. He creates the solution. He created woman as the solution. He created woman for man to solve the problem. There was this problem. Oh my gosh. God had just created all things and said, ooh, this is good. This is good. This is good. This is good. This is very good. And this is a moment where he said, this is not good. It is not good that he is alone. Wow. And even just the juxtaposition of all of those goods to the things he's created, and it's not good because I haven't created this thing, this helper for this man. Wow. Okay. That means that our role as a helper is very important. It is vital because it was the solution to the problem. Like, the first problem that we see, that was the solution. Our creation as a woman. If you are a woman listening to this today, God created you as a solution to a problem. You were created to be a helper fit for him. And who is that him? That him is your husband. You were created to be a helper fit for him. Now, help him do what, right? What was Adam already given the charge to do? Adam's jobs were to work and to keep the garden and name the animals. Adam was also told not to eat something, and he was alone, and God wanted to solve that by making him a helper that would help him with his jobs, but also a helper that would help him obey God's command. Interesting, right? Because that is right after I will make, it's not good for man to be alone, is right after when God gives him the command. So he's given him a job, he's given him a command, and said it's not good that he's alone. He needs help. He needs help to do the job that I've given him to do, and he needs help to obey my command. Because let's be honest, Adam is not perfect, right? Man is not perfect. Woman is not perfect. But we know that this is not scriptural, but two heads are better than one. What is scriptural is that iron sharpens iron. That a three-strand cord is not easily broken. There are something that wonderful that happens in the safety of multiple people working towards the same goal. Because when one slacks, the other can pick up the slack and help, and vice versa. So it's not good for Adam to be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. Woman. So, as a helper, our job is to help the man, our husband, fulfill the job that God has called him to, while also helping him obey God's commands. I believe that is what it means for us to be a helper, based off of Genesis. So how do we help him fulfill his job? First, it depends on the job that God has given him to do. In Eve's case, it was keeping the garden and naming animals. Generally speaking, though, each wife helps her husband by keeping the home and tending to the children. For every believing husband, there is a call to discipleship and evangelism. He also has gifts of the Spirit and a role in ministry. The wife is to help in accomplishing or fulfilling that mission. I believe that's where we get the term submission from. Have you heard this? Submitting to or coming under the mission, like a submarine goes under the water. Submission under the mission. Right? It kind of makes sense. So, not obviously. We will talk about submission next week. But how has God gifted you? He has gifted you those things so that you can help your husband, so that you can love the body and love your children, but so that you can help your husband. How can you help him with those gifts? What are ways you can help make his job easier or help him be more fruitful in accomplishing his mission from God? Like, that is your mission. So Adam had the mission of tending the garden. Eve had the mission of helping him do so. Does that make sense? So your husband has a mission to do X. Your mission is to help him do X. So you have a mission, just so you know. Like, I don't want you to feel missionless. Like, you have one. Your job is to help him. You were literally created to help him. And when we understand what our role is, why we were created, what we are called to be, when we walk in that role, we will not only please the Lord, obey him, honor him, and love him, but we will also be blessed by walking in what he has called us to do. Like, we are beneficiaries or benefactors. I don't know. We benefit. We benefit when we obey God. So, that's your role as a helper in helping him fulfill his job. He's got X. You help him do X. So, if nobody knows what X is, I think we need to find out what X is. Yeah, husband and wife together, figure out what X is so that you can help him do so. Maybe your job is to help him figure out what X is. That's the first job. And then you help him accomplish it. Okay, so how do we help them obey? Well, when we look at Genesis 3, when Eve and the serpent are conversing, we can only assume that Eve has learned of God's command through her husband, because there is no verse that says God told Eve or that God said it again while she was alive, because the first time he said it, she wasn't created yet. So, under this assumption, Eve learns the command from Adam. God has not told us to do this. Hopefully that's what Adam said. Now, based off of what we've seen, what we've read, what we learned, based off the story, Eve actually causes Adam to disobey God rather than obey him. And I am sure that is not what God intended or wanted when he created this helper for him. He didn't want her to help him sin, but help him obey. It is no secret that women have a unique ability to seduce, manipulate, or just even plainly affect a man. Whether positively or negatively, we have some divine ability to affect them. And it's probably because we were created for them. Like, in us is everything they need or want for good and godly purposes. But when skewed and used incorrectly, we violate why God has created us and become a hindrance rather than a helper. I'm going to say that again. But when skewed or used incorrectly, we violate why God has created us and become a hindrance rather than a helper. So how can you help your husband remember God's word? Because that's the main way to help him obey. First, we got to remember what God said, right? If you look back at Genesis 3, Eve doesn't get God's command correct. God didn't say you couldn't touch it. He just said you couldn't eat of it. So she's got to know his word so that she can remind him of his word. Remind Adam of God's word. So one way that we can help our husbands remember God's word is by knowing God's word ourselves. How can you help your husband pursue good and godly things? Since you've got this divine ability to affect them for good and godly things. Lead them in that direction with your love, with your words, with your actions, with your, I don't know, eye movements and head movements and body movements rather than eye rolling and things like eyes that look adoringly on them. I don't know. I'm just giving an example. But how can you help your husband pursue good and godly things? Like good habits or good hobbies or good relationships. We can help them so that they accomplish God's purpose, right? If they are focused and distracted by all these other things, they can't do what God has called them to do. So how do we help them? Our job, help. We are to help. They need help. Not because they're men or it's like, oh, men can't focus on things. That's not at all what I'm saying. They need help because they're human, just like we need help. And they are also our help. Let's not forget that. Let us not forget that. They help us in so many ways, but they help us mainly through their leadership and their love, through their sacrifice and their service for us. That is their help. The way that they wash us with the word, as Ephesians 5 says, that is the help that we need. And then our help is to remind them of God's word. Not to hinder them. Like maybe, just maybe, our main help is not to hinder them or hinder what God is doing, because look at what Eve did. She hindered the whole thing. Like her not knowing God's word correctly, her, I don't even know, having this conversation with this serpent, her letting her, whatever insecurity was brewing inside of her, believe a lie over truth did not help her husband. That hindered him. That hurt him. So like our guarding our own selves and our own like heart and truth helps our husband. Because if we are like doubting and confused and struggling with sin and this, that, and the third, like that can affect them. Like honestly, that can affect your children and that can affect your husband. Then it can also affect your marriage. Then it can also affect their relationship with God. Like again, we have a divine ability to affect them. People say happy wife, happy life, right? They say women are the like the thermostat of the home. Let's just not think that they like that just because those are worldly phrases, that they're not based in biblical truth like they are. Let's just be honest. As 1 Corinthians says, like, how do you know, wife, that you're submitting to the Lord can, like, how do you know that that won't affect your husband and make him trust Jesus? Like, you don't know that. You don't know what your godly example can do for him. Like, maybe that is your help. That is your not hindrance, rather than you trying to lead him or teach him or this, that, and the third. Like, Eve's job in that moment was to believe God's word, to say, no, we are not supposed to eat it, and then not eat it, and then not offer it to her husband. Plain and simple. She didn't hinder, and she helped him in that moment by not sinning, by not doing it, and then not helping him do it. So let's say the sentence again. As a helper, our job as wives is to help our husband fulfill the job that God has called him to, while also helping our husband obey God's commands. That's what we were created for. That's what we are called to be as a wife. Can I pray over you? Father, we come to you thanking you for your word. Thanking you for letting us know why we're here. Everybody searches for their purpose, searches for the answer to the question, why are we here? And specifically as a woman, you have given us that answer, that we were created to help the husband that you give us. In that, we find purpose and joy and our mission to help them accomplish the job you've called them to do and to help them obey you. We can do that by the gifts that you've given us. We can also do that by just having a relationship with you where we obey you, we know your word, and then we just help our husbands obey by not causing them to disobey. By reminding them of your word, by helping them pursue good and godly things, by not being hindrances to them, by finding ways where we can make their job easier and ways where they can be more fruitful. That's our job. Forgive us, forgive us, forgive us for how we have confused and distorted what our job, what our role, and why we were created. The world does not help, but if we don't constantly remind ourselves of truth, it gets distorted, just like Eve. So we need to constantly remind ourselves of the truth of why we were created. We were created to be a helper. That's what we are called to do. That is our mission. To help our husbands fulfill the job that you have called them to. So Lord, help us find out what our husbands are called to do. And then help us do that. And then we are called to help them obey. And we need your help to obey. To help them obey. Thank you for your truth. But thank you more, or equally, for your spirit that helps us to walk in truth. Because we don't just want to be hearers of your word, we want to be doers. So help us today to do what you've called us to be. Help us to become these helpers that you've created us for. In Jesus' name, amen. If you like today's episode, please subscribe. If you loved it, please share. If you got a habit, please write a review. I truly would love to hear what you have to say. Or if you do not have time to write a review, I honestly would just love for you to click the 5 stars or 4 if that's what you think we deserve. But just tap on the stars because that helps people hear as well. And I would like people to hear more of God's word. I believe that you would like that too. And if you want more, tune in next week and we will talk about what we are called to do. And granted, we did already talk about things that we're called to do as a helper right now or today, but next week we will talk specifically about what we are called to do. So I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are too. But until then, I will leave you with 2 Peter 1:2. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ rest on you and your families. I love you.